This is Living the RV Dream, episode 313 for Friday, March 8th, 2024.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, hello, fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, coolie builders, overlanders, tent campers. Welcome one more time, living the RV dream, and are we ever. By the way, I'm your host, Robert Morales, Traveling Robert on YouTube and everywhere else. If you're new to the show, and today I want to talk to you about we still have a few national parks we haven't had the pleasure of visiting. But we just came back from Big Bend National Park. And let me tell you, it is one of the top. I don't know if top 5, top 10. Probably not top 5 or top 10, but it's definitely in the top 20 national parks, I think. And so out of the way. And so, I think, underrated, really. I mean, people talk about, those who know, it's like their own little secrets, right? It's the type of scenery you don't really expect from Texas. I mean, not to say anything bad about Texas. Eastern Texas is mostly flats, same with the north. And you expect this type of landscape from somewhere like Utah or Arizona or that kind of sandstone formations. And this place is, first of all, it is huge and so scenic and so unique. You know, you've been right next to, for the most part, in many of the places, right next to the Rio Grande, which, as you know, is the border with Mexico. So you're a stone throw away from Mexico, literally, and I mean, you can wade the waters of the river. It is that shallow and that narrow, and the current is not very swift. How do I know? Because I got to swim on the Rio Grande. Yes. So let me begin at the beginning here, and tell you about, there are two main units, I think, of the park. There's the Chisos Basin, which is a more mountainous part, and then there is the Rio Grande Village, and there's another area as well that is called there are three main campgrounds. There's Chisos Basin, where we stayed for the first couple of nights. There's Cottonwood, which is near, kind of close to the Santa Elena Canyon area, and then there's the Rio Grande Village, which they also have a full hookups RV park if you are so lucky to get on one of those. I was actually able to secure 3 nights at Chisos Basin and 3 nights at Rio Grande. By the way, using CampNab. If you don't know what CampNab is this website, and I'm gonna put a link in the show notes for the podcast. It's a website that checks periodically for cancellations. You can tell it the campground where you want to stay at, even the loop, even the site you want to reserve, and it'll keep checking, and you give it your tolerance as far as dates, you know, your flexibility and how many nights you want, and if something comes up, they will notify you, and if you're quick enough to get on the website and make the reservations, well, you can get in. And that's what I used. And of course, that's an affiliate link. So check it out. And I totally recommend that. I've been able to reserve this waterfront sites at Bahia Honda State Park. And now, this very coveted, very hard-to-get sites at Big Bend National Park. And the first couple of nights we spent at the Chisos Basin Campground, which is by far the most scenic. If you watch the last Friday's live stream, I did it from there. And the only thing with Chisos Basin Campground, it is tight. And I'm not kidding. Some of the sites are really tight. Some of the sites are really meant for tent camping. I mean, you can stick a camper van, maybe even a small Class C. And I was able to park Minitini, but it was tight. So if you have a larger RV, just check Google Street View has that campground covered. So So make sure that you fit, because it would suck, you know, after you reserve it and go all the way there not to be able to stay. So there are several scenic drives on the national park. There's Gano Springs, which is actually like the main drive, but then what we did, we took the Russ Maxwell Scenic Drive, and that takes you all the way south to it's called the Santa Elena Canyon. And there's an overlook. I don't know exactly how deep the canyon is or how wide, but it's the Rio Grande. It's a canyon, and it's such a beautiful area, and you're literally able, you know, they have some rocks. There's like a beaver dam on the river, and you can literally walk to Mexico. I don't know, you know, if I mean, this is such a remote area that it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's there's only one area where you can cross the border, and we did actually. But that's one of the hikes that I do recommend, and it's like less than 2 miles round trip. And yeah, there's a little bit of an elevation gain, but beautiful hike. And that's most of what I did. I mean, this is a park that has some very long hike. The network of hiking trails is enormous, but a lot of the hikes are 1 to 2 miles and very rewarding, very rewarding. So you can do the Santa Elena Canyon hike, or there's an overlook too, and there's several other overlooks. And one of them is the mule ears, and there's these two mountains that kind of look like mule ears if you use your imagination. And there's also mule ears trail that you can take. It's several miles, and it takes you right where very close to the mountains. But we didn't. I mean, the overlook was sufficient. But what we did, that was really, really, really rewarding hike. It's one that is called, and there's two of them. There's the Burro Mesa Puruff Trail, and there's a lower Burro Mesa and upper Burro Mesa. We did the lower, and it goes into this canyon. I mean, it's just one of those things that is hard to describe, the beauty of this area and the unique rock formations. And then the canyon dead ends, like at it dead ends the canyon. It's like this area where when it rains, there's a waterfall. But then you look up and you see the people up above, like maybe, I don't know, 500 feet above you. And they're the people who are finishing the upper Burro Canyon. So actually, it would have been really cool to do both. But that was like almost a whole day we spent on that road. And then we came back to Jesus Basin. Jesus Basin, by the way, has a lodge with a restaurant. They have an incredibly well-stocked convenience store and a small visitor center. And right there at Jesus Basin, there are a couple of hikes that you can do too. And one of the main one is it's a loop trail that is the window view. As the name implies, it's like a window between two mountains so you can see into the distance. There's also a window trail that goes downhill, which means you have to come back uphill on the way back, and it's a couple of miles long. I didn't do that one. They didn't seem rewarding enough. Instead, what I did, and this one, if this is something that you want to do, I totally recommend it. This is the Lost Mine Trail, and this one is not strenuous, but it's what they call moderate. I mean, it goes up and up and up. You don't have to scramble on rocks or anything like that, but some parts are really steep, and it's relentless. You know, you go up. I think it is a little over 3 miles round trip. I mean, so it's not incredibly long, but you go up to this, this mountain. And at some point along the way up, you can see the entire campground way down there in the distance, and then you get to the false summit, and then you get to the real summit. But in between those two, the views are incredible views. Even though it was a cloudy day when I went, which was good because it wasn't too hot, so it was perfect hiking weather. And you're gonna watch those videos in about a month here on my YouTube channel. So make sure to to see that. And between the two campgrounds, we decided to take a full hookup break, as I like to call it. And we went down there's a town called Terlingua, which is very quirky. They have this restaurant at an old theater. It's called the Starlight Theater. It's like an old west theater. The food was decent, wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I mean, it for what it is, and the town has character. You know, they have this front porch right next to the Starlight Theater where all the locals were hanging out. All the locals with their dogs and everything else, and very proud people. Very proud people. The people of Terlingua. We stayed nearby at an RV park, you know, one night with full hookups and, you know, to charge our batteries, take a long shower at Paisano Village RV Park and Inn, and I have no complaints. Very, very good RV park for what it is. Then on the following day, we had reserved at the Rio Grande Village Campground, which... actually, it was very nice as well. You get some great views of Sierra del Carmen, which, by the way, is in Mexico. Rio Grande Village Campground. I mean, there's no direct access to the river, but you are within a few feet from the river. There's a loop, a scenic drive that takes you to the top of the hill. And now in this area, it's very close to a town on the Mexican side of the river called Boquillas, Boquillas del Carmen. So a lot of folks from Mexico, they come on horseback and they bring like souvenirs, and it's all on our system. You know, all the overlooks in this area, they're full of all these Mexican souvenirs that you just, you know, deposit cash in a box and you take your souvenir. It's really, really something very interesting. Here we did the Boquillas Canyon Trail, which is, it's actually quite short, but two things changed on this part of the trip. The temperature just went up, you know, when we were in Santa Elena Canyon and all the other areas. And then, of course, Chisos Basin is at higher elevation, so it's not as hot. But Boquillas Canyon was hot. And after you done Santa Elena Canyon, Boquillas, I mean, it's beautiful as well, but Santa Elena is so much better. And it was so hot, so we didn't really enjoy that as much. Okay, two things that we enjoyed were two dirt roads, and I forgot to mention the first one, which we took from Chisos Basin. And it's a 4x4 dirt road. I mean, this one wasn't as bad. Grapevine Spring, it is called. And you have to drive several miles on this one. And from there, you do a hike to the Balanced Rock. And this hike was also outstanding. It's called the Grapevine Hills Trailhead, and the first 90% of the trail is just a gentle uphill, beautiful, so scenic, you have no idea. But then the last quarter mile is scrambling on rocks, and then you get to this Balanced Rock, which was really cool. I don't know if it was worth all the scrambling. In fact, on the way back, we kind of lost the trail, because this is another thing. My only complaint, actually, about Big Bend National Park, the trails are not. I mean, most of them are obvious. You know, they're well trafficked, and you see the path on the ground, but they're not all that well marked. You know, you don't see cairns marking the trail or blazes. Well, there are very few trees, so you wouldn't see blazes. But trails like this, even like when I've been to Mount Monadnock in New Hampshire, you know, they like paint the ground. Maybe since it is a national park, they don't want to paint the ground. They don't want to, you know, desecrate the earth. But they should find a way to mark it a little better. That's really my only complaint. The other trail that we did here on the on this part of the park is, and I'm trying to look it up here. Well, we did several things, actually. But it's a dirt road, and this one is pretty bad. This one is in pretty bad condition. You do need 4x4. The Old Ore Road is called. And we took it to the Ernst Tanaja, or maybe it's pronounced Tanaja, but it makes sense that it's Tanaja. I mean, it's T-I-N-A-J-A, Tanaja in Spanish. It's like a type of jar where you collect water. And the trailer at the end, you have these water holes that collect water, which not the type of water hole where you would swim at. I mean, they're full of, it's like rotten water and it's full of bugs and whatnot. But it's kind of like a wide slot canyon, and that was very scenic as well. Something else to do in the Rio Grande Village area is they have some hot springs. And you drive to the trailhead, and you have to walk like, what, half a mile, and then you get to swim in the hot springs. They're pretty hot. I think they are like 110 degrees or 120, I forget. But to me, the highlight was to get out of the hot springs and actually swim in the Rio Grande. You know, it's, you're swimming and you are 10 feet from the United States and 10 feet from Mexico, and you're in the middle of the river. But it is not that cold because it's that part of the river that is fed by these hot springs. And I didn't spend a whole lot of time there, but the little night that I spent, it was quite magical. I did a Pelican Head update. For those of you who are members or patrons of the channel, you probably get to watch that. And yeah, they were, as I said, it wasn't quite bucket list because I didn't know about it, but now that I did it, I thought it was super cool. Now, I haven't told you that the coolest thing or the most unique thing about Big Bend National Park, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of stuff because I'm going from memory here, and it is late, so but the most unique thing is that you can actually go to Mexico. There's the town of Boquillas del Carmen that you can see across the river from many viewpoints. But then you can cross into Mexico, and it's the most, probably the most unique border crossing that you're going to see. I mean, when crossing into Mexico is no big deal, of course. And you just get the ranger, tells you the rules, what you can bring back, you know. You can bring back souvenirs or like sealed food. But nothing, you know, nothing like no rocks or animal products or anything raw or anything like that. So, okay. So then there's a short trail, and you get to the river, and there's a gentleman with a rowboat, but he doesn't really need to row because the water goes to his knees. So you just get on the boat, and he just pulls the boat into Mexico. And then they charge you $5 per person. Is it $5 or $10? $5 per person. Yeah, $5 per person. And then once you get there, you can either hike to the town, which is not a very long hike. It's like, what, three quarters of, not even, maybe half a mile. And that is free. But then for a small fee of like $10, you can hop on a donkey, a burro, and then for a little more you can go on a horse, or they can give you a ride in an SUV. But, and this is the pro tip number one, and maybe you feel more comfortable that way, but if you take one of those three options, you're gonna have a guide with you that is gonna, you know, take you around town. I mean, he's gonna be with you all the time, and I didn't want that, so we decided to walk. I mean, I have an advantage. We speak the language, although I have a feeling in Boquillas everybody speaks basic English, because the town literally, I think, lives off the tourists that come from Big Bend National Park. And another pro tip: if you happen to be there on a Monday or a Tuesday, the border is closed. They only open from Wednesday through Sunday. I guess they take, you know, the folks that, you know, that rent you the donkeys and all that, you know, they have to take days off, right? But once you get into town, you have to check in with Mexican immigration. And it's really not as much as Mexican immigration. This part of Mexico is like their version of a national park. It's like a protected area, so you have to pay your entrance fee to the Sierra del Carmen protected area, or whatever it's called. And it's $4 per person. And they give you a ticket, which that the pricing, like Mexican pesos, I think is like $38 or something like that. But then there's a couple of things to do in town. There's a lot of small shops. I mean, it's like basically like the front yards of the folks' houses. You know, they're selling souvenirs, all kinds of like artisans, you know, like art. And maybe me, I just got a t-shirt. But then there are two restaurants. One is called Juan Falcón. The other one is just called Boquillas Restaurant. They're very similar. Juan Falcón does have a better view and arguably much better margaritas. We decided to have drinks at Falcón and then eat at Boquillas. And yeah. I think Falcón might be a slightly more upscale. But they're both good. And there's a bar. There's a bar. This seems to be more like for locals. We went to the bar and there was no one there. They had like some pool tables and whatnot. There's a church. I mean, and there's not a whole lot else to do in town but to, you know, have your Mexican food, have a margarita, a Carta Blanca beer, which seems to be like their local beer, and which is a very light lager. And that's about it. As I was saying, if you don't feel comfortable going into Mexico and maybe being out of your comfort zone and you want to have a guide, then do opt for that option. But let me tell you, that guy is shadowing you everywhere. You're just like, I would feel uncomfortable, you know, because I like my freedom of being able to walk around and not have someone shadowing me the whole time. But that's just me. That's just us. So, we had a great time. We spent like, 2.5-3 hours in town, and then we just crossed back into the United States. Then the check-in progress back into the United States is a little more complex because then you have to show your passport to the ranger. But then you have to do it's like a Zoom call kind of thing. With an immigration officer, you know, you're checking in back into the United States. You don't see them, but they see you through a camera, and they, you know, it's a. They just ask you if you're bringing anything from Mexico. I just told them, I just got this lousy t-shirt. And they were okay with that. So that's it. It just, sometimes there's a little bit of a traffic jam and checking back into the United States. That's all. But it was uneventful. Very easy. And that's Big Bend National Park. Would I do it again? I really loved Big Bend. And the fact that the whole park settles around the international border and a little bit of a controversial border nowadays, you know. And in that area, there's no controversy, you know. It's just so remote that there's nothing going on. It's just the narrow river dividing the two lands, and that's it. And it's this huge meander of the Rio Grande that makes up the Big Bend. And if you're in the area and if you can spare a couple of days in that remote area of Texas, I totally recommend you visit. Now let me tell you briefly about the place where we are right now. We drove from Big Bend. Something that many people recommended for us to see was the McDonald Observatory. We just drove by it. The timing didn't work out. We spent one night at Davis Mountains State Park in Texas, which, by the way, full hookups. Very, very nice state park. And it's supposed to be one of these dark sky areas. Probably the darkest sky area in the United States. One of the darkest. But it was cloudy last night. And it's cloudy again tonight where we are. So no Starfield time lapse during the night, and that's quite a bummer because we almost have no moon this right now. But we spent one night at Davis Mountain State Park, totally recommended, and beautiful area. And then we came here to where we are right now, kind of a beeline to this area because I've driven through here before, and when I drove through here before, I'm like, that looks very, very, very interesting. Someday I want to see it, you know, up close. So this is the Valley of Fires State Park. Not to be confused with Valley of Fire, the one in Nevada. This is Valley of Fires, plural, in New Mexico. And it's this rather large lava field. There was a, it wasn't a volcano, but it was just a hole in the ground that, you know, spouted magma for several years, I believe, and it created this lava field, all this volcanic rock, and there's a short trail, very accessible actually. It's paved, and that's pretty much all there is to do here, except, you know, the campsites are wonderful. We are on the electric loop. We have water and electric. There's a dump station right on the way out. And I would totally spend 1 or 2, 3, even, you know, as long as we can, you know, not shower. you know, stay here. The views are amazing, and I'm actually pleasantly surprised. I didn't think I was going to like this campground as much as I do. Now, for the next couple of days, we're going to do something different. I'm going to look at some possible land for a possible Pelicamp West. Yes, I do want to own a piece of Arizona, and hopefully we'll make it happen on this trip. I mean, we've postponed it long enough for many years now, and I hope to make it happen this time around. And that's all I have for you today. That's it. It's been quite the eventful week, and we, again, if I didn't say it emphatically enough, totally loved Big Bend National Park. Until next week, thank you so much for watching. And see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream. Who are we ever? And loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.